paradise and put up a fucking lie. Welcome to At the Table. I'm Clark Wolf, and this is the weekly radio show about all things food. Brought to you from Sonoma County, not just wine country, but farm country. And this is the 10th anniversary of this show. Who knew? I was but a child. Yes. I'm really very happy to be here. And, you know, at this time of the year, a lot of the people that I talk to are kind of on the busy side, you know, and I want to bring them in and share what they're doing with you, but it's in the midst and it's not nice. I often say that if you take an hour with a farmer or a cheesemaker or a restaurateur or a bread baker, you're stealing sleep. So stop it. So today what I'm going to do, and Jeff, you're welcome. This is Jeff Woodruff. He's our producer, and you are welcome to join in, ask a question.
Ooh la la.
Express your incredulity. Is that? Yes. Okay.
Well, I think that's a word.
Well, it's late enough in the year to use any word you want to. And we're going to do kind of a recap of the new year. I think it's really important to do that. It's kind of important to remember, you know what I mean? Because we're very much here in nature, and nature changes. At this time last year, it was also, what is the word? Oh, yes, wet. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been pretty wet recently, too.
It's been pretty recently wet, my new book, Recently Wet. But what's important about it is that a lot of our seasons started very late this year. Our strawberries started so late, and they ran through almost the end of November. I mean, that's kind of how we live, you know, by nature. And for a long time, people all over the country, in certain parts of the country, let's be honest, make fun of California. Oh, floods and fires. And guess what there is all over the entire country? Floods and fires and earthquakes. I mean, everywhere, nature rocks. It does what it wants. If we don't pay attention, it doesn't care. It will slough us off and go on. The earth is going to be fine. We either pay attention to what we're doing and do what we can to mitigate it in ways that mean our grandchildren can have lunch, or we don't, and they don't. Sorry, guys, that's a reality. You can't debate facts. We have to really focus on that on a regular basis. And one of the things I love is when you focus on food, facts just taste good, right? So this year, what was, in your mind, Jeff, your favorite thing that you ate this year? What in the way of seasonality in Sonoma County comes to mind? And I, you know, we're not talking about this, the stuff you can get any year all the time. Mac and cheese and hot dogs don't count. I mean, they do. And pizza always counts. But if you can think of something this year that just seemed like, boy, that was good, what would it be?
Restaurants? Oh, man. I don't know if it was necessarily any restaurants, but I went to, and without sounding like a total alcoholic, but like at the breweries that I'd go to, and they'd get the pop-up food trunks, like Smash Burgers. There was Songbird Barbecue, I remember offhand. That's my friend Jet. He did one with brisket. And it was like a bao, not a bao, because that's like a bun, but it was like almost like a taco with brisket, and it was delicious. And I had it over at the Third Pig Sebastopol.
See, no, that's exactly what I was talking about. And you know, your alcoholism is something separate. We have another show for that.
It was just a couple beers.
There you go. No. But what you're saying is, one of the things you noticed this year is that more and more, and we have a history of this, but it was really good lately. You're right. More and more of our breweries, and we'll get to the wineries in a minute, are serving really good food. Mm-hmm. Remember the days, you're probably too young, when if you went to a brew pub or you went to a bar, the food was out of the freezer, covered with sauce, you know, barbecue like sugar. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was burnt and blah, blah, blah. And all it was there to do is soak up the booze.
There's still bars that do that.
There are all bars that do that. But there's also some really good cooking going on, right? Mm-hmm. There's some really, all right, so that's really great. Yeah. Well, for me, it was stone fruit. We have had this last year some of the best peaches, some of the best plums, some of the best cherries. Oh my goodness, the apricots were okay, but the peaches. I mean, and again, when you live by the seasons, this was apparently also a very, very good year for the vintage. Apparently the grapes were incredible. And I should mention that. You said that you've been having really good food at brew pubs. It was St. Francis Winery that got to be the number one restaurant on Open Table some years ago, because they had such a great program. And now you get really good food. You get meals, but also tastings and pairings at our wineries. in a way that is, I think, world leading. I don't think there's any place that does as good a job as we do. First of all, the produce is from down the street, or it's from out front or out back at the winery.
Well, that's like a really interesting thing that I've noticed a lot of wineries and, well, tasting rooms and breweries are doing, is they're doing a lot of food pairings and in trying to incorporate a lot of flavors that, I guess, for what the brewery's trying to say is accentuate the flavors of the beer. But it's also allowing you to introduce yourself to a whole bunch of different types of food and food trucks and locally sourced products that, like, you know, those guys aren't going to a mass.
Well, and the other thing about that is it's just good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just good. Yeah. It's like you don't have to leave the place to go have a meal. You can hang out. You can be there. You can have some brews. You can have, you know, this. And folks, you know, it's great to think about all the pairings. But Jeff, what's the first thing you do when you get a new brew or a new food or something you've never had before to eat or drink? What's the first thing you do?
Smell it.
Okay. It's not the first thing you do. The first thing you do.
Actually, wait, hold on. I was here for this when we, this is one of my first episodes.
This is a quiz.
It's something, I was about to cuss.
You run it through your computer in your head.
Yeah, so you look at it. You look at it first.
And your body says,
okay,
no. Or your body says, ooh, that looks like
Yeah.
Right, okay. If you've just joined us, by the way, we're talking. And we're talking about food. And we're talking about 2024 and what in food and drink had the aspects of memory, you know, worth remembering that 2024 was all about. And we've been talking about food trucks and good food at brew pubs and really good pairings at wineries. And of course, we've been talking about peaches because I like to talk about peaches. Then, you know, the other big food story in Sonoma County was Measure J. I mean, when you think about it, what we did was over 85% of our voting public, which was a pretty good number for our voting. In fact, more people voted for some of the measures than they did for the bigger stuff, the bigger national stuff, said, we believe in diversified farming. We want to have our dairies, our cheesemakers, our ranches, our, you know, our chickens, our pork, all that stuff. And we want to do it as well or better than anybody else anywhere. And we're going to keep doing it. So go away and leave us alone and give me a taco with brisket.
That was the most, like, probably the most polarizing thing in the county, for aside from like the general election with president. Like, I'd say the Measure J, I'd see those billboards everywhere. And I took over the reins producing your show in October.
Right.
And the first couple shows that we did, I could really tell just sitting back, just getting to learn you again, and then also just like how the show operates, that this was a very sticking point where it was like, oh, like, all right, I should pay attention to this a little bit more. And I remember on election day watching it and just being like, oh, wow, everything Clark said that was going to happen is actually happening with this measure here. Like,
listen, I did a bunch of stuff in the 80s or it was the 90s when, you know, George Magazine, John F. Kennedy Jr., no, not John F. Kennedy Jr. Yeah, John. Yes, John.
I'm a 93 baby.
Okay,
so,
okay. Never mind.
I'm so, sorry.
John, who died with his wife in the plane.
Oh, okay.
Right? Beautiful guy, really. And he did a magazine called George in D.C. that was all about politics and community service, all that stuff. And it closed after a number of years. But apparently, I made a bunch of predictions in 1989 or something. And some woman called me up. I didn't get back to her fast enough and said, everything you said was going to happen happened. You know, every single person is good at some stuff. You know, I have over time, I think it's because I'm first generation American, because I came from the outside, because I am a little outside. I like to watch how things work. I learned how to learn through food. Mm-hmm. And so I like learning about culture and all the rest of it. And with Measure J, it was fascinating. We have some very traditional, very conservative, old-time farm families who listen to this show. And I appreciate that because I respect and really appreciate what they do. Recently, I think it was the Sonoma Wine Growers honored 22 families who have been farming in this community for over 100 years. Over 100 years. That means that our wine growers and our winemakers grew what? What did they grow before? Potatoes.
Okay.
Pears.
I was going to say, some form of roots.
potatoes, pears, prunes.
Apples.
Okay. See, all right. In other words, hops. I mean, these are people who know how to farm this land and who have to change with the times. And let me tell you something. One of the other big stories is there seems to be too many grapes in production in California. We've lost a little bit, not very much, because our stuff is so good and because it's so important to our community. But other counties have been pulling out thousands of acres, and our farmers will recalibrate whatever they have to do. They're going to take care of the land. They're going to take care of the earth. I mean, because if they've been doing it for 100 years, they want to be able to pass it along to their kids, to their grandkids, to their great-grandkids. And I think we have the best opportunity for that to happen, don't you?
Yeah. I was going to save it for next segment, but just a quick question here as we're wrapping this one up. Do you think, because there's similarities with the weed and wine industry, do you think that the late rainfall that we had this year, or the weather that we had this year, really kind of attributed to the abundance that we got in grapes and in buds? I saw that in the news recently that there's an abundance
of
both.
Here's the thing. Nature. Okay, so what is nature? Nature is the earth and the soil that we have to take care of and keep it lively, right? Mm-hmm. We absolutely do need water, and we are very, very lucky because we forget drought instantly, because it's really painful, right? It's really, you know, I don't want to go to Safeway and get a bottle of water.
Yeah.
but by the same time, and I live by a river, and we see, you know, we're very, very fortunate that we're in a cycle of plenty of wet, and yes, we better appreciate it. We've just stopped drilling wells, but that's another whole story. All right, we'll be back with more about 2024 in food right back here at the table. We're back at the table. I'm Clark Wolf, and I'm here talking about the food and drink of 2024. It's been fascinating. Now, I only want to spend a little bit of time on, I don't know, giving Trader Joe's grief about how many recalls they had this year. I think it was something like 6 or 8 in about 12 weeks or something. Did you notice? One after another, after another, after another.
That doesn't make me feel good when I'm going grocery shopping soon.
I mean, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and people say, well, why is that true? And blah, blah, blah. Well, first of all, Trader Joe's is very popular. And so
yes.
If there's something popular and something goes wrong, we have to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, and also they have liability. I mean, if they put that little piece of plastic or a little piece of metal or that salmonella or that listeria or whatever the heck it is, foreign materials into your body, and you get sick, it could be trouble.
It's on them.
It's on them.
I think I know where this is going.
Go ahead.
We're going to talk about McDonald's.
Yeah. we're going to talk about McDonald's. I mean, so here's the thing.
Oh, I passed the second test.
Yay. Good job. So apparently McDonald's is a good place to find dangerous raw onions and corporate murders. Alleged corporate murders. I mean, McDonald's in Altoona? Come on, guys. I mean, it sounds like a bad pun. Anyway, here's the thing. When there's a big company like McDonald's and a bunch of people and somebody died, you know, and a lot of people got sick from the raw onions from this one farm, it's great that we can trace it all the way down to find it out and, you know, fix the problem. Nothing bad happens. The stock dips for 5 minutes. They spend $100 million building backup traffic. In other words, convincing people that they're probably not going to die this week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? $100 million. It drives me nuts. I do not eat at McDonald's. And I'm somebody who grew up near one and ate at McDonald's about once a month. Mom gave us a buck. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Burgers were 19 cents. It was in Southern California. They were good. There was a little bit of lard in the fry mix for the French fries. And so they tasted like heaven. I mean, they were really good French fries. And now... we've done this before, Jeff. How many ingredients in a French fry from McDonald's?
17.
19.
Damn.
Yeah, and it's okay. When it hits 20, sell. Anyway,
yeah, right.
So there was that. There were the Trader Joe's recalls. Here's what I like. We had a recall recently. I don't know if you read about this, that your black plastic spatulas needed to be thrown away immediately, right?
I've heard that.
I only had two. They were both kind of melted because I put them, you know what I mean?
So I think we missed that one, yeah.
Exactly, right. So guess what happened this week? They said, oops.
Psych.
It turns, no, not psych. Although, yeah, kind of. They said our math was wrong. It wasn't, we multiplied it by 1,000 and it should have been by 10. In other words, But and people say, well, you can't trust science. Phooey. Science is what we think we know right now.
Yep.
And I like any scientist who will say, wait a second, I made a mistake last week. That was the quickest turnaround. Sometimes we get information about food and nutrition, and 30 years later, they say, oh no, wait a second, you know, your ears are going to fall off you eat. You know what I mean?
Look at all the dietary trends that happen.
It's like crazy, yeah. Right? I think Nestle has a new whole line that's basically directed at people who take Ozempic. I mean, blech, right? So just eat something. I mean, and the thing is that Trader Joe's has a lot of other people make their stuff. And they don't do a really great job of monitoring what the other people do. Mm-hmm. So when you get sick, Trader Joe's sold you. And unlike a national brand, when you go to the grocery store, there are big companies that sell you S&W this and whatever. Lean Cuisine. I remember a woman once said to me, Lean Cuisine, I could eat five of them. No. Anyway, but those companies have their own responsibility. And the grocery store doesn't have the same responsibility unless it's a store brand. Right?
Yeah.
And there have been I'm not a big fan of Whole Foods today. I was at one time. They're not very good anymore because they don't really like food. They just like money. But, you know, Amazon.
Amazon.
yeah, what a time to have four of the distribution centers all go on strike before Christmas. Yeah. Anyway, maybe it'll get their attention. But the thing is that Trader Joe's is one big collection of private brands. I mean, it's basically Trader Joe's this and that and the other. And so they're much more responsible. And you go there because you think they've picked some fun stuff.
Yes.
A lot of it's salt and sugar. And that's another topic we're going to have to discuss in a minute. And so I don't buy any of it because I would rather, if I'm going to have salt, I'd like to salt something. If I have sugar, I want it baked by somebody local that I know and I can smile at. Sometimes the produce at Trader Joe's is really pretty good and at a great price because it's a lost leader. Do you know what that means?
No.
That means it gets you there or keeps you there, but they don't expect to make any money on it. All right? That in a lot of cases in food businesses, historically, it's called a lost leader. I mean, it's true for all kinds of retail. Well, they will get you into a store because you can get this cheap. And once you're there, they sell you a lot of other stuff.
Oh, and you're more likely to shop.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, if they don't have any of it when you get there, that's called bait and switch.
Oh, okay.
And that's not entirely legal.
Yeah.
But many food stores have a history of, and that's why grocery stores have specials, because they got a special price and they pass along to you, or they take a lower margin on something so that they can get you into the store to shop the other stuff.
Yeah.
And that's good. I mean, that's really good. So sometimes Trader Joe's has that stuff, but it's okay. Apparently the black plastic isn't as bad as a lot of other stuff that we shouldn't be eating or putting into our bodies. Now, the other thing that we really want to focus on, and this is going to be fascinating for probably the next number of years, we've had the first major lawsuit by humans against big food. And the lawsuit says, ultra-processed foods are killing us, and you know it, and you've known it. I've been saying this for a long time, but a lot of the people the entities who have bought into the big food companies were tobacco companies, who, as you may recall, did not mind their customers dying.
Yeah.
And what they did, and they got caught doing it, is they were engineering and marketing towards children and towards people of color, people who had a vulnerability to their stuff. Apparently, they are accused of using the same MRI, the same brain studies that people have been using, scientists have been using to figure out how to maybe combat addiction, to turn it around, to figure out
how to engineer
the food to addict you to crap. And it doesn't matter what the calories are. It doesn't matter the salt content or the fiber content or the nutrients that they say are in there. It's the ultra processing itself that actually apparently makes this happen. And so the first lawsuit has happened, and it's against all those big people, Heinz and all those people, ConAgra and all that stuff. And, you know, they have bazillions of dollars, but this is bazillions of dollars. And it'll be really interesting to see who joins the lawsuit, because it's also costing insurance companies. It's also costing corporate America. I mean, everybody's getting sick. And now with Ozempic and all those other, you know, weight loss drugs, the ultra-processed food people are freaking out because apparently those drugs turn off the I want some more right now.
Oh.
Switch. Yeah. Exactly. And now Nestle's is making stuff that appeals to you, has protein, has this, blah. Go to the farmer's market. You know what I mean? Go to a brew pub, just buying. and have some banh mi sandwich. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Have normal food as much as you can. At the Gravenstein Apple Fair, I did a panel. I always do a panel there in the Life on the Farm section, usually with farmers or people who are related to farming. And I asked this whole group of people what they wanted more of in Sonoma County. My favorite response, one says better funding. Another one said compost, reading, you know, all that stuff. My favorite was Dan Imhoff, who's a publisher and a writer and an artist and a musician. He's a local great musician. And he said, soup. He wants more soup.
Love soup.
The bottom line is soup is the perfect thing to have all the leftovers go into so that all the great, delicious, wholesome food we grow here is enjoyed, is maximized, is not lost. It doesn't become compost or those other things, and we end up eating really good food. And you know the thing about soup, it's slow food, takes a while to make fast because all you have to do is warm it up. All right, when we come back, we'll warm up some more and talk more about food in 2024 here at the table. Table. I'm Clark Wolf, and I'm hungry. We are talking about food in 2024. I'm going to start with a problem and then go on to some good stuff.
Okay.
Right? Let's. I mean, we need to talk about another recall. I mean, these are things that have to be talked about, right? But it's a recall that reminds us how lucky we are. There's a San Francisco seafood company, the name of which I should remember right now. I'll look it up, where they are recalling their oysters because they could make you sick or worse. And they come from British Columbia. And my plug here is, we have Hog Island Oysters and we have Tamales Bay Oyster Company. And we should just celebrate. We do not have that problem. They're tested all the time. They don't even get to their own bins to sell without making sure that they're safe and delicious. And the more we can understand here in Sonoma County, and if you're listening across the country, no, I'm kidding. it does remind me. I remember many years ago, I went to Maui, and as apparently everybody in Sonoma County does on a regular basis, it just cracks me up. I moved to New York. I never wanted to go to Hawaii all the years I lived in California. And then I moved to New York, and the first thing I wanted to do was go to Maui. I don't know. Anyway, when I got there, there were two kinds of really good food in all the natural food markets. There was a market called Mana in a wonderful coastal kind of town. And everything was either from Up Island or Sonoma County. I'm talking about goat cheese. I'm talking about chickens and eggs. Yeah, exactly. We have great stuff. So the point is that if you see a recall, really look quickly as to where the company is, because most likely it's not from here. We don't do that stuff. And if we do, we know about it instantly and it's done. So
without trying to scare anybody, I found that story for you. As of December 12th, nearly 60 confirmed and probable cases of norovirus have been reported among people who ate raw oysters from British Columbia. And the Pacific oysters may be marked as Fanny Bay, Buckley Bay, or Royal Miyagi oysters.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
And so, Miyagis are the super small ones, right?
Yeah, the little, yes. Okay. But and we have, by the way, we have a lot of those oysters that come here. But the ones that we grow here are absolutely delicious. And I was just out to, we talked about it last time at Rocker Oyster Fellers. And boy, they have.
They got some good oysters.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. But anyway, so. Folks, be nice and enjoy our stuff and say thank you to the people who raise and share that food. The other thing that has been recalled is raw milk. Apparently, raw milk has had some really big problems as well. We really don't have a lot of raw milk in Sonoma County.
Now, I'm going to sound stupid. Raw milk, is it just... Because I grew up drinking 2%, 1% fat-free whole milk. What's the difference between raw milk and whole milk?
No. Raw milk is unpasteurized. And pasteurization is the thing that made us be able to drink and eat a lot of things without dying. And the best pasteurization for dairy products for me is a careful light. It's not as high temperature. ultra pasteurized, they cook the heck out of it and everything dies. Lower pasteurization, it's slow. It brings usually to 165 degrees, and anything that could be bad is gone. They're all. If you have a raw milk cheese, these are good questions. If you had a raw milk cheese, anything that could hurt you is usually gone or dead by 60 days. So that's why you'll see on cheeses aged 60 days, aged 90 days, and it's raw milk. Drinking raw milk fresh means that it hasn't been pasteurized. Now, the thing about raw milk and dairies that sell raw milk is they tend to be organic, of course, and they tend to be incredibly careful. In Vermont and in upstate New York, there are raw milk dairies where they have their pathogens are so low because they keep the farm so. I mean, you know, dairy farms are a hotbed of a range of experiences. I've visited some of our organic dairy farms here, and they really work hard to keep them clean. And you know what I mean. And there's a lot of I don't know cow poop. But if you've ever been to an organic dairy farm, the poop doesn't stink bad. If they feed them the right stuff at the right time, it smells sweet. It can be taken for compost and all that other kind of stuff. So 2%, that has to do with the amount of butter fat in the milk. 1%, 2%, completely fat-free, all that kind of stuff. But raw refers to unpasteurized. Sometimes you'll see pasteurized almonds. That means, again, they've made sure that they have been cooked in a way that makes sure that any pathogens that could be damaging to you and are removed. The challenge is that usually pasteurization has the tendency, in if it's not done really, really well, to remove flavor components.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, it tastes like, I don't know, the press Democrat? Really tasty? No, I'm kidding. But, I mean, it's one of those things where you want to look for that. So raw milk is one of the things. And the other thing, and it just happened this week, is that Governor Gavin Newsom has announced a state of emergency. You know what that's about?
The bird flu.
Yeah. You know what that's about?
No, because there haven't been any human-to-human transmissions. It's been from...
We don't know.
But none that have been reported.
We do know that a number of herds, something like 30 or more, in California have tested positive for the bird flu. We do know that it has been transmitted to some people. We don't know yet if any of them have been transmitted between each other. So no raw milk kissing anyway. No. But we do know there's a young person in Louisiana who is critically ill from bird flu. And that's not a good sign. That's a bad thing. That's, you know, potential for pandemic. And so what he's done is he's declared a state of emergency so that he can act quickly. We can act quickly. We can start testing things without having to go to a lot of legal rigmarole. And it's really smart. And, you know, I mean, look, we're supposed to learn from problems, right? Mm-hmm. If we haven't learned from the pandemic that vaccines work, sorry, Bobby, you know, then we're crazy. I like that he's backtrack about the polio thing. Come on.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. I mean, yeah, let's give everybody diphtheria right away. Come on. Thanks so much. I understand being cautious about science. I do not understand using scare tactics to discredit whole parts of the entire international community that has kept us safe. That's just self-serving and crazy.
Something that's been proven for decades and decades and decades.
And maybe the result of a worm eating your brain. Anyway, that's another. But the bottom line is that bird flu is something we have to pay attention to. And, you know, we've been through it here, right? We lost so many birds because the birds flew over our flocks, and ducks and chickens had to be euthanized. And it's terrible. And now it's in the, you know, again, folks, global warming, hello, diseases, viruses, bacteria, it does better in a little bit warmer, wetter weather. And that's what we're getting because we're heating things up. So don't be surprised, be prepared. And I don't know, think about what you're doing on a regular basis. Enjoy everything you're eating. I mean, I'm a firm believer. Again, we don't know what the economy is going to be. The other day, the stock market went down 1,000, you know, all that stuff. We don't know. So people always ask me, because I'm around long enough to know I've been through some crashes and ups and downs and ups and downs. What's the best investment you could make in a tough time? Eat good food. First of all, it'll make you happy. But second of all, you will have your physical strength, your psychological strength. Eating good food and sharing it with people you love, even people you like, possibly Jeff at a bar. Anyway, it's the right thing to do, and you'll be better for it. All right, well, we'll be back here with more of 2024 right back here at the table. back at the table and I'm hungry and thirsty and I'm going to go to lunch after this. I don't know. I think I might have a taco. I think it's taco season. Oh, every day is taco season, right? Remember, it was some years ago, somebody was threatening that there would be a taco truck on every corner. To me, that's the great promise of life.
It doesn't sound like a threat. It sounds like a good time.
It sounds like Sonoma County, actually. Yeah. It sounds like a good idea. Anyway, I often go to the Press Democrat. I read it every day, but I often go to the Press Democrat and their a la carte column, and I often pull a thing or two to mention. You know, they do a really great job. I got to say, this week, home run. I mean, again, some of the things are great for people to read, but that they don't hit me. Right. But this week, I have to say, I'm excited about all of it. Well, almost all of it. The first one is we talked about this with Will Seppi, the Cousteau tradition of all those nutcrackers at Cousteau Bakery in Healdsburg. Come on. I think it's really cute.
It's random, but it was a great story to hear about. Like, just like what connection would a bakery have with, an umpteen amount or an unholy amount of nutcrackers, but it's a great tradition that they've got out of it.
And you get to guess how many there are, which is better than beans or pennies in a jar, right? And you might be able to win a sweet prize, which, you know, because Cousteau does such a nice job of being successful. I mean, again, not everybody does success really well, right? Some of those people, not so nice. They're really wonderful in the community. They do great things. We love their stuff. I mean, when he came here, he brought cinnamon bread and a toaster.
It was delicious.
But he brought a toaster. Yeah. He brought a toaster. I mean, this is dedication. Anyway, so I think that's really, really wonderful. Then, you know, I've known Michael Mina, San Francisco chef, for many, many years. And his history is he was a sous chef at Aqua in San Francisco. I'll tell you a little story. So when in the 70s and my 20s in San Francisco, I got the job of running a little cheese and wine shop at the base of Nob Hill. And there were on Geary Street around the corner, there were a lot of what were loosely called massage parlors.
Okay.
Got it?
Yeah. And sounds like an issue we've been having around here.
There you go. And so sometimes the girls would come in for champagne and fancy cheeses for their clientele. and sometimes they had boys there too. It was full service, you know what I mean, right? And this one fellow who always came in leather and all kinds of, anyway, I saw him later at Grace Cathedral in the front row with a robe holding a cross.
Wow.
Yeah. And then some years later I saw my favorite Allison, is her name, and I came into this Michael Mina restaurant at the base of California Street called Aqua. Big hit. And she was at the front desk. She was the hostess. And I looked at her and she looked at me and she said, same thing. Pleasing the public. Yeah. Anyway, Michael Mina was the sous chef to George Marone, who was a very talented guy who just flamed out. But Michael Mina put his head down and has opened more great restaurants all over the country. Really, really. He's 40 or 50 or 60 restaurants, and they're good. Not everybody can do that. Wolfgang Puck tried, and then he had to retreat because he opened a couple and they were no good until he learned how to do it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Jose Andreas does a really good job. The Starks have 7 or 8 places. They do a good job because they've learned how to do that thing. Well,
it's an industry that turns over quite a bit.
It is, but some people know how to do it. And Michael Mina is originally, his family's from Egypt. And so he's doing an Egypt culture and cuisine at his only wine country restaurant, which I think is really kind of exciting. He has a book called My Egypt? I think that's right. And it's Wit and Wisdom, and that's the name of the restaurant. And you should look it up. You should look into it, because if you've ever wanted to know, I mean, that's the cradle of civilization, that whole area. And all we ever hear about is strife and misery on all that stuff, and that's not true. This is the one that's not, because, you know, I don't cover wine because it's covered very well by other people. But there's a winery that's doing only big bottles. And I will say this. Can I pronounce this? It's an Alexander Valley winery. Stolmuller Vineyards. Is that how you say that?
Maybe Gesundheit.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Got you. But anyway, I was taught early on that for a lot of wines, the big formats, the Magnums and beyond, are really how you make the best wine. And I think, but then in Bodega Bay, there's a chowder crawl.
Oh.
Excuse me.
Oh.
First of all, I'm not sure that if you're Chowder Crawls, you should eat it. But anyway,
yeah.
No, I was just out at Spud's Point. And again, why is it called Spud's Point? Is this a quiz?
Spud would lead me to believe something with potatoes, but that's probably not.
That's perfectly true.
Yes?
Yes. Before, hey. Before there were before grapes and apples and prunes and hops, we grew potatoes.
Okay.
And Spud's Point is where the barges came up to pick up the spuds. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that literal?
So it was a shipping point. Yes.
And so now our crab boats come, and hopefully in January we will have, you know, our wonderful crab. But there's going to be, I mean, you started Rocker Oyster Fellers, and there's going to be, and actually you check in at the one on Valley Ford or the Sonoma Coast Visitor Center, and you can do a wonderful, I mean, and it's like $30, and it's the 22nd annual Bodega Bay Chowder Day. I mean, you know, people celebrate all kinds of things, right? But we don't need to shoot off guns or throw things to be able to have a great time. We can slurp chowder.
Shovel that spoon into your gullet. Yeah, just
add a little crackers on top if you want to, but it's not a requirement. But anyway, it's all the best. All right, when we come back, we'll just have a few more minutes of goodness and thinking about 2024 and beyond back here at the table. Back at the table for our last few minutes. I'm Clark Wolf. I'm here with Jeff Woodruff. Did I say that right?
Woodworth. Close enough.
Woodworth.
I've been called worse at the grocery store. Don't you worry.
Exactly. A Woodworth is, you know, like Woolworths, like the counter.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Only
with a D.
With a D and no bankruptcy. All right.
Not yet.
A couple of, there you go. I didn't say that. I really stopped myself. So a couple things to think about. This year, we really embraced lower alcohol libations across the board, and they were nicely done. It wasn't like they were extracted and it just tastes like flat. And actually, I'm lying. I didn't taste them. But I heard that from a lot of people that we have lower alcohol wines. A younger generation just wants to select their alcohol moments more carefully. While their pot gets stronger and stronger. Anyway, and we had more pizza. I mean, come on. You know what I mean? Pizza is the perfect vehicle, and pizza is...
Who doesn't love pizza?
Well, and also it can be done creatively without making you really angry. I mean, I've never been angry at a creative pizza, right? I mean, I won't have pineapple. Don't hate me. The other thing that's happening is with all this rain, winter mushroom hunts. Oh my gosh. I mean, I'm not even going to tell you about one in particular.
Calling all foragers.
Exactly. But folks, please, please go with somebody who really knows. Don't die. Yeah. Don't get sick. It's not cute. Don't have McDonald's raw onions that are, never mind. but I mean, I think these are really important things. It's been a good year for food. A lot of chain stores, chain restaurants have closed their locations because there were too many.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the economy, real estate has not gotten cheaper, but in some cases, a bunch of things have cleared out because of the pandemic, and landlords are saying, we need to have restaurants, we need to have life, and they're kind of being more supportive and more flexible, and I think that's wonderful. We are a wonderful creative community where the food is absolutely delicious. I used to really complain unless it was really strictly Sonoma County farm to table, but we've done such a good job of doing Thai food, Sonoma style, of doing Mexican food, of course, in many, many styles, of doing Japanese food with whatever, in a style that includes what we grow here, and it feels really wonderful. What's been important to you? What do you want to know for the future? About the last year?
Well, my question was just going to be, we have about a minute left. What was the most memorable thing that you cooked in 2024?
You know, that's easy. Dark Leafy Greens, which is not a rock group at Hot Monk this weekend.
Yeah.
but, you know, we have such great ones that are so delicious. And I tend to put them in a big pan with a lot of local olive oil,
mm-hmm,
and steam them all down. And then I will admit, I will do a jar of locally made tomato sauce. I do shiitakes with garlic in another pan and olive oil until they're all crispy and throw them in there. And stretta pratsi, it's this wonderful little pasta, organic pasta that looks like the Dead Sea Scrolls. And mix that all together and cook it. And it is the most delicious thing with some Parmesan or some other hard cheese grated on. And I have food for 3 days and it just tastes like heaven. It's my favorite thing, and I cooked it again. It saved me in the pandemic, and it saved me in 2024.
It sounds like we got to have a show party at your place. You got to cook up something for us.
I'm sorry, there's no parking. All right, listen, we look forward to talking to you again soon and being with you here at the table. That you don't know what you got till it's gone. You'd be in paradise and put up a fucking lie.